The sanctity of marriage has taken a hit in our society. Once a sacred, God-ordained institution, too many couples have disregarded the plan and agreed that their relationship is expendable. Or on the flip side, couples have concluded the covenant of marriage, manifest in a wedding and a promise between two people, is merely an option, so they choose to live together with no strings attached. Today on Insight for Living, you'll hear Chuck Swindoll continue the classic series called Strike the Original Match. We'll defer to God's book for wisdom, consulting the architect for time-tested counsel on marriage.
Changes are never cheap. Have you learned that? Remodeling a house, for example, is expensive, but restoring a home is infinitely more costly. No one ever worked through a difficult, hurting marriage without paying a very high price. This fact alone causes many partners to refuse that painful process. The pain of changing is, in the opinion of many, simply too great to bear. However, for those who do change, how sweet it is. God declares that the husband-wife relationship is to portray the deep, close, intimate, and loving relationship Christ has with His bride, the church. When a Christian marriage is dissolved, God loses one of the greatest theological seminaries in all the world. How difficult it becomes to declare the love of Christ when marriages are destroyed. The Apostle Paul offers a solution in the little letter to the Colossians, chapter 3. I want to read a portion from verses 1 through 10 in this third chapter of Colossians. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him.
You're listening to Insight for Living. Helpful resources are readily accessed at insight.org. And now the message from Chuck Swindoll, titled, The Project. Let's consider the cost.
Alan Peterson has written a book entitled The Marriage Affair, in which he says this: marriage is not wrecked by a blowout, but by a slow leak, by continued negligence and inattention. He calls this the problem of the 20-year fracture. I want to talk tonight about how to patch the slow leak and what it's going to cost you to patch it. And I want to talk about putting a cast on the 20-year fracture, or 30 or 40-year, if you please, that may right now be in the midst of your marriage and no one really knows about it. It's not the marriage that suffers seeking help that bothers me. It's the marriage that suffers and nobody knows about it that concerns me the most. And I mean even a mate in that very marriage. Believe it or not, that happens. I have had individuals in my office, and these other men on our staff have had couples in their office, and in the midst of one another and my presence, they have brought up something, and the other one has said, I didn't know you felt that way, or I didn't realize that there was a problem until you said we ought to come and seek help. That's the particular situation that concerns me the most. And so tonight, in dealing with the matter of patching the slow leaks, I want to remind you of the three statements that we closed with this morning. First of all, the time to begin is now. Second, the method to follow is God's. And third, the person to change is you. Now, not later. God's, not man's. You, not your partner. Those are the key words in those statements. And I especially want to build on the last one, because I am convinced with all of my heart that there is one patch that will cover and stop the leak, and it is change. That is the only patch that I know that can stop the leak in a fractured marriage. One or both partners will have to change. And having said that, I want to come back very quickly and say, change is not natural and change is not cheap. The most painful experience I have ever gone through was not the Marine Corps boot camp. That was bad, but that wasn't the worst. The most painful experience I've ever gone through was not a bout with the strep, though that's terrible, and I go through all sorts of shakes and fever and backache and feeling I'm going to die and then fear I won't in the middle of it. But that's not the worst pain. The worst pain I've ever experienced is the pain of changing my life with the help of God Almighty. So I speak with deep conviction as we talk about the matter of dealing with problems which invariably will have to do with changing our lives. Now turn first to a strange passage you'd be surprised to hear me say. Jeremiah chapter 22. We're going to look at this verse in chapter 22, and then we're going to look at a related verse earlier in Jeremiah. Then we're going to go to Colossians, and then we're going to go to Ephesians at about 9:30. We'll go home. Not really. I'm afraid if I leave you thinking that, someone might leave, and so don't leave. Jeremiah 22, beginning at verse 18, is an indictment written to a man with a funny name, Jehoiakim, who was a king over the Jews. He was the king of Judah. Jehoiakim had a great heritage, but he had a terrible habit. His heritage was Josiah. And if you know much about the Bible, you know that there weren't many greater kings than Josiah. He loved the Lord and led the Lord's people before he was really a teenager, if you can believe it. He was turning this world upside down, that is the world of the Jews, before he ever turned 21. Josiah was a man who led a revival the likes of which the Jews had never seen until his day. Josiah gave birth, his wife did, to a boy named Jehoiakim, and that boy turned bad. In fact, you will see in verse 21, the verse I want to call your attention to, his habit. God says to him, I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not listen. This has been your practice from your youth, that you have not obeyed my voice. Allow me to wrench that from the context and apply it to a marriage, and you look back at the verse with me. I spoke to you when you were first married, when your heart was tender, when you were just beginning your home, and you said to me as a couple, we won't listen to you. And you, having said that, this has been your practice from your honeymoon, from your earliest years in marriage, you have not obeyed my voice. Now that, quite frankly, is not just a novel paraphrase. That is reality. In many a marriage, the heart of the couple is tender when they have just become husband and wife, when they've just joined together as one flesh. And God taps on the door of that new home and he says, please let me have your attention. Please let me help you build from the very start. Often these homes have enjoyed premarital counseling from a pastor or a pastoral staff of the church where they are married. And so their hearts are prepared, the soil is right, and just before the planting they make a decision. No, we don't want it. And then time passes and leaks begin to take place and fractures occur. And the passing of time only enlarges the leak and increases the fracture. Until finally the indictment that is set against Jehoiakim is set against the couple. From your youth, you haven't obeyed my voice. You have built a habit of disobedience. Now, there are some very common areas of resistance that keep us from restoring our home. I want to look at them with you, and I'd like for you to turn on the blue sheet that you received this evening to the other side, to the four circles, which we have called four methods of meeting problems. In the first three circles illustrated here, we have an example of reasons for leaks, reasons for fractures. And in the fourth illustration, we have the solution to it. But in the first three, let's work our way through, and let me take a moment to have you look at them with me. First of all, we go around the problem rather than into it. That is a habit that many a couple develops early in their marriage. They say to themselves, or you say to yourselves, it really doesn't matter. What is really important is that we get these children raised. Or, I don't want to rock the boat. If I bring it up, he'll get mad. I've tried it before and it doesn't work. Or, I'll tell you what, we say to ourselves, I'll get involved in other things. I'll take up golf, and every time I hit that little white ball, all the frustration will leave, but it doesn't. Or I'll become an active member of the PTA, or I'll get another job, or after all, nobody's perfect compared to the Jones or the Smiths or the Jacobs. We've got a great marriage. We'll just leave it as it is. It's too painful to go into it now. And so we go around the problem. Now look at the second illustration. This is even more subtle than the first. In this one, we go aside. We glance off to what I want to call a phantom problem, a make-believe problem that goes on all the time. A couple faces the situation, they realize there's a little irritation that's going on, it's becoming greater and greater, and so one says, you know, the marriage isn't what I bargained for. That guy's a dud, and I thought he was a great hero when I married him. Or the husband looks at his wife in his mind and he says, you know, really, she's a ding-a-ling. She's not the woman I thought she was. And the real problem is we're a mismatch. That's our real problem. We don't have a bond. I've heard that till I'm sick of it. We don't really have a marriage because we don't have any love left. So the only answer for us is divorce. You ever heard that? You want me to hit you below the belt? You ever said that? You know, our real problem is not you or me. It's just we're not made for each other. That's a phantom problem. It is you or me. In every case it is, one or the other or both. Or I've heard people say, you know, honey, we can't get along. What we need is a pet. House looks like a zoo, and they still can't get along. Monkeys, canaries, parakeets, cats, dogs. It's an incredible place to live, and added to it is the pressure they still can't handle. That's a phantom problem. What we need is something else to take the place. Or, worse than that, what we need is kids. We can't get along for 7 years. Maybe we ought to have children. Bring them into this mess and see if they can make it work. That's a phantom problem. Or we need more money, or we need things, or we need to get active. We need to get busier. And we create a greater or a side, a satellite problem that just orbits around a bigger one. And then there's a third reaction to the problem, and that is, of course, the cop-out. This is impossible. Or to use the words that perhaps all of us have used at one time or another, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Let's just give up. I quit. It's impossible. That's the way I am. I'm like that. I was born like that. Listen, nobody was born with a hot temper. Nobody was born impatient. You were born with a nature toward being hot-tempered and being impatient. You weren't born with it. You've cultivated it. And it's at this very point I want to leave Jeremiah 22 and go back to Jeremiah 13, but don't lose the blue sheet. I'm going to be right back to it in a minute. I'm going to show you a verse that people use to verify that when you once you get set in a concrete and problems, you can't ever get out. Because they'll quote, not knowing it, Jeremiah 13, 23, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? What's the answer that you would give? No! You can't change your skin. Leopard can't change his spots. He's spotted for life. And then all of my life, I have thought the verse was saying something it's not. So then neither can you do good that have done evil all your life. Well, you look closely, that is not what it is saying at all. As a matter of fact, this verse is a contrastive verse. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Uh-uh. Can the leopard change his spots? No way. Yet, the Hebrew word then could be rendered yet. You, and it's an emphatic pronoun, you, not like the Ethiopian, not like the leopard, yet you are able to do good. This word translated can is the verb that means to have power or to have an ability to do something. The Ethiopian can't change, the leopard can't change, but let me add, you can. You have the ability to do good. You who are accustomed to evil, the editors were very kind to us in translating it that way. What it really means is learned in evil, trained in evil. Do you know that you can develop evil ways to handle your mate and become so proficient at it, you don't even see it as evil? You can become a manipulative wife, or in a very real sense, a dominating husband, and view it as just part of the job of being a good wife to get your husband off the dime, or being a good husband to keep your wife in submission. And these techniques we develop, we become trained in them, so that once we are set in motion, we think, hey, I'll never be able to change. That verse says that is a lie. The Ethiopian can't, the leopard can't, but you have the ability to do good, you who are trained in evil. Now, going back to that chart and that third circle, I want you to mark it off, as well as the first two, as being the wrong ways to patch a leak. As a matter of fact, that patch is nothing. No situation is impossible to God. And therefore, no situation is impossible to God's child. Number four is, of course, the one and only way to handle and to face any problem. And that is to work through it. I want to make two observations about these four circles. The first observation is this. In the first three approaches, you will notice the problem remains intact. Who adapts? You do. You begin to live with it. You become calloused in certain areas so you can live with it, and the problem stays right there. In fact, if it does anything, it grows. And the simple fact that you put it out of your mind and say, well, it's not as bad as those people next door, does nothing to your problem. It just sets it aside and allows it to grow in complexities. Now, the second observation is that the further you go to the right, the more painful it gets. The easiest thing in the world is to go around the problem. A little bit more difficult, but it's also easy, is to short circuit or to glance off and develop a phantom problem. And of course, a little bit more difficult than that is simply to admit failure and to say it's impossible. We will never get it together. We are finished. That's painful. But believe it or not, it's easier to get separated and to leave your mate than to work through the problem with your mate. Now, with that in mind, let's go to the New Testament, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Remember this morning we talked about wisdom and understanding and knowledge from Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. It's remarkable to me how those three character traits come back and haunt me all the way through this study on the family and the home. It's remarkable how they fit into passages time and again without being forced. It's just amazing to me. Now, in Colossians 3, we have a climax that occurs in the passage, but it's subtle and you'd miss it. The whole passage is a large crescendo that starts quietly and almost unobtrusively, and it grows larger and larger until verse 18, where it says, "Wives, I have something to say to you. Husbands," verse 19, "there is something for you to know. Children, there is something for you to know. Slaves, there is something for you to know and apply. Fathers, there's something for you to see and to know." In other words, the chapter is building not to a theological seminary, but to a home, which is God's greatest theological seminary on earth. Every time a home dissolves, he loses a tremendous impact, which I would call a personal theological seminary of God. You and your neighborhood providing in your home is your home is a theological seminary for those around you. It's amazing. You can change just a couple of letters and you can turn it into a cemetery. Isn't it interesting? And it happens all the time. Seminaries become cemeteries when there is a division and a breakup in the home. Now let me show you how we lead to the target or the crescendo. First, beginning at verse 1, let's notice that God is talking to us about some costly responses that help us restore a home. First of all, he begins with a major command. If you then have been raised up with Christ, and you have, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Now, don't take that verse all by itself and apply it theologically to some theoretical realm called positional truth. It is positional truth, and we love it in that realm, but it's built for the home, according to this chapter. So as a husband or as a wife, if you really want to see with discernment, that's wisdom, then set out on the course every day in your home of seeking things above, where Christ is enthroned. Not things on earth, where you are enthroned. In other words, take this great theoretical and theological truth called our position in Christ and put it in the shoe leather of your home tomorrow morning. Okay, Paul, I will agree that I need to do that. I need to look upon my life and the life of my mate from your eyes. I need to see myself as you see me and her or him as you see them. Now tell me how to do it. Verse 2, Paul answers, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth."
With Insight for Living on Marriage, you're listening to Chuck Swindoll. Today's sermon represents the second message in a 14-part classic series called Strike the Original Match. It's titled The Project, Let's Consider the Cost. Did you realize that Insight for Living provides daily outline notes so you can follow along with Chuck? Yeah, they're called Message Mates, and you can print them out by going online to insight.org. Just click on the section that says Message Mates. The Strike the Original Match CD series comes with a complete Bible companion study guide and a bonus CD containing a refreshing and casual conversation with Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll. Purchase the CD series or download the audio files by going online or giving us a call at 1-800-772-8888. Even as you've heard this program on marriage today, it's also heard in places like the Middle East, Australia, Russia, Central and South America, Brazil, and Europe. The truth of God's Word about marriage crosses all cultural boundaries. And we couldn't extend this far-reaching influence on couples all around the world without your financial help. Your donations to Insight for Living are making an impact. To give a donation, call 1-800-772-8888 or write Insight for Living, Box 269,000, Plano, Texas, 75026. Or online, go to insight.org. Chuck Swindoll's classic series called Strike the Original Match continues on the next Insight for Living.